The Rambam says like this: Mitzvas Eser Shel Torah Lishmua Trova Shofar BeRosh Hashanah is a mitzvah to listen to the sound of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Or Shenemar Yom Trua Yelachem. So the Rambam's idea is that the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah is not to blow the shofar, but to listen to the sound of the shofar. Okay, and that's the Rambam, and the Rambam repeats this idea throughout. Now, what the issue with this becomes is the following. Rav Soloveitchik already proves, and I'm going to show you, that shofar is not just listening to a sound. Shofar is a form of prayer. It has halacha of tefillah. How do we know that? If you continue in the same halacha in our first source, the Rambam continues and says, "V'shofar shetoikim bo b'im b'Rosh Hashanah b'im b'yoyfer." The shofar that's blown on Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Kippur of the Jubilee, who keren hakvosim akofuf, it has to be a ram horn that's bent. Okay, this is the Rambam, and the Rambam says that if it's not bent, it's possible. You can't use it; it's unfit for shofar. The Ravid, as you see at the end of the source, argues. So the Rambam holds that the shofar has to be a shofar, cannot be straight like a trumpet, it needs to be bent. Now, where's the source of such a thing? You look to source 2. Mar Sovar, there's a discussion in the Gemara how the shofar of Rosh Hashanah should be, straight or bent. And the Gemara says like this: Mar Sovar, b'Rosh Hashanah kama dechoif inish dai tetfei. The first mandomer, the first opinion holds that Rosh Hashanah, the more bent down you are, the better you are. And Yom HaKippurim is not like that. And then the Gemara continues and says, Umar Sofer, and the other mandomer holds the opposite. On Rosh Hashanah, the shofar should be straight because it's important for a person to be straight. So, as Machloikes, the shofar is a reflection of how the person should be. Explains Rashi in the next source, Kama dechoif inshi, how a person should be, not stam, bit filosoi. The whole machloikes, how the shofar should be, is because how a person should be during his prayer. Pon of pushim loretz, the first mandomer holds that you have to be bent down because a person when he davens should be bent facing the earth. Tfei yodif. Why? Mishum vayu einai vili bishom. Because the pasuk says that the heart, the eye should face the heart. Ilkach b'Rosh Hashanah, and therefore Rosh Hashanah, the litfila, that the shofar is made for prayer, u'le'aski rakeidas Yitzchok, ba'inan k'fufin. That's why you need a bent down shofar. That's the first opinion. The next Rashi says, kama de'posh, the other opinion says, a person should be, the shofar should be straight. Because a person should be straight, Rashi says, b'shum nisal levavein del kapai, because the other man da'omar holds that when you daven, you should face straight up to heaven. Nisa levavein el kapayim el kil bashamayim. You should face God above. Ilkach b'Rosh Hashanah b'pshutim. And therefore that mandoma holds that Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, needs to be straight. Dilit filahu, because it is for prayer. Says Rosh Soloveitchik. You can see the whole machloik is how the shofar should be, is a discussion about how davening should be. And indeed, in Masechta Yevamos, the Gemara has the exact same machlokes, the same argument, with the same psukim, how a person davens. Do you daven facing down, or do you daven facing up? What does it have to do with the shofar? So it's clear, because shofar is a form of prayer, the litfila koi. The truth is, on the end of the broch of the shofars, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Kol Truas Amu B'Yisrael Berachamim. Because Baruch Hu listens to the shofar Berachamim. One second, Hashem listens to the shofar? The mitzvah is for us to listen to the shofar, not for God to listen to the shofar. How do you know that Hashem listens to the shofar? Where does it say that? And Abu Dirham says that every one of the brachas, you need to have a pasuk to justify saying the bracha. Says Rav Soloveitchik, you know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to tefillah. And since shofar is a form of prayer, for sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the shofar. I wanted myself to bring a raya. We know that the shofar has sounds, and the sound in the shofar is called trumitin. Trumitin is the sound. The trua has 9 trumitin. And the Ritvo asks, how long is a trumit? Says the Ritvo, the trumit is how long it takes to pronounce one letter. Havara o Isachas. What does it have to do the pronouncing of a letter to the sound of the shofar? Because shofar is a form of prayer, and therefore the pronouncing of a letter is what counts. One more raya, the Biur Halacha says, and the next Nes source, Im ifsik machmas oines, if a person had to interrupt his tkia shofar because something happened, the question is it a hefsek or not? Vekoshali, so the Shabur asks, lifi mashechri arav magen avrom sholach bifsik machmas oines elim kem shoines begufa dovar, if the only time an interruption is counted, if it's something which prevents the shofar or the mitzvah from being done. Kigor shalei adam roi machmas aguf nokio shalei bimokom roi. The only time it's called a hefsek, it's called interruption, is either the person wasn't fit because he wasn't clean, or as you're standing in a place which was not clean. So a hefsek, to call an interruption in the sounding of the shofar, must be that either the person is not clean, or he's standing in a place which is not clean. Im ken lichoira, he says that doesn't make any sense. The mishabrua lo shayach zerak bitfilo bimirkas abozin. The idea to be in a place which is unfit and unclean is only halacha legabe what legabe tefila or legabe birkas hamazon. Ubehalul megillah shakopod gaskul eski sham lo omer divrei Torah b'makom tov, because then you can't not daven in a dirty place. Masheinkim bitkia, but he says shofar. What's wrong to blow shofar if it's not clean? Shein arak ma'ase mitzvah is just a pure mitzvah. Do you ever see that you cannot perform a mitzvah if you are not clean? Or be mokom shenonoki, or in a place which is not clean? Hayim osulil boshtali shalar bakanfu is keshegufo mokom shenonoki? Tell me that you cannot wear a tzitzis if you go to a place which is smelling? For sure you could. In kilomatzinu beshum mokim, that doesn't exist. Says Mishabu Bitzarachin, so why can't you blow shofar if the place is not clean, if the person is not clean? Says Rabbi Yoshua, you know why not? Because it's a form of prayer. Shofar is a form of prayer. All the halachas that pertain to prayer pertain to shofar. The problem is that this is preposterous. You tell me the shofar is a form of prayer. I just told you, what's the mitzvah of shofar? It's not to blow the shofar, but to listen to the shofar. How can listening to the shofar be a form of prayer? That's question number one. Okay? If the mitzvah of shofar is listening to the shofar, how can shofar be a form of prayer? And I just showed you raya after raya, the shofar is a form of prayer. Question number one. Question number two is the following. Says the Darche Moshe in the next source, Ki amaril shekosef dishtit ol gimel peomim. The Maril writes that on Erev Yom Kippur, tomorrow, is a mitzvah to go to the mikveh. And you, some people dip three times. Because of the lomehane atolas teskabin, says the Maril, usually, for tvila, which is not a chiyuv, you could technically use a shower. But here, doesn't help. Mishum datam, vaze mishum dehavik kiger hamisgar, because the tvila of tomorrow is not a form of purity. The reason we go to the mikveh is because it's a tvila of conversion. The same way a ger, who becomes a Jewish person, goes through a process of conversion, and on that you need the real mikveh. Vetzorech tvila. Because of oida maril, and maril adds, is the same maril, afal pishet toval berev roshona, even though you went to the mikveh not of roshona, v'yodea shelora akeri, and you know that you have been pure and tohar from Rosh Hashanah. Your aseres v'tshuva have been unbelievable. So who needs to go to mikveh again? Afilo achi itvol berev Yom Kippurim, you have to go tomorrow to the mikveh again, mishum tshuva keger hamisgayer, because the true, the tvila tomorrow is not for purity, ir for gerus. Sort of Soloveitchik explains, because every tshuva, you become like a new person. And therefore, you have to go to the mikveh to really create and reenact a ritual of becoming a new person. And the question I always have about Soloveitchik, technically, you should do tshuva every day. So it means that you have to be chassidish, you go to the mikveh every day. And I don't think Soloveitchik was a chassidish guy that went to mikveh every day. Rav Ruder wanted to tell me that he goes, just go to the mikveh maybe once or twice a year. So if you do tshuva and you have to be a new person every time you do tshuva, you should technically go to the mikveh every day. So what does that mean, that you go specifically in Erev Yom Kippur? People who never go to the mikveh, Erev Yom Kippur, they go Tvilas Gerus. Why specifically in Yom Kippur? That's question number two. Now, question number three. Says the Rambam in the next source, Yom HaKippurim was around tshuva lakol layochid velarabim. Okay? And this is the tshuva for the rabim, and this is a very important day. Lefichach hakol chayovim lasos tshuva lizvado zeh Yom HaKippurim. A person has to do tshuva and to do vidu in confession Yom HaKippurim. Now, says the Rambam, U'mitzvas vidu Yom HaKippurim sheyatchil me'erev hayoyim. The mitzvah of the vidu of Yom Kippur starts not on Yom Kippur, it starts before Yom Kippur, tomorrow by Mincha, the mitzvah's vidu. Koidem sheyoichal, before you eat the final seuda of the day, you've got to do vidu. Why? Shema yechonek basseuda kom sheizvade, because maybe you choke eating tomorrow, therefore you make a vidu, because you might choke by the seuda. Okay? What? You're going to choke? I know a lot of people who got, maybe because Yom Kippur is so like scary that people choke when they eat. But I've been like in many years, I never saw a case that somebody choked by eating the seuda. By the way, if you're afraid of choking, you should always make a vidui because you might die. So you make a vidui before you eat. So why, what's special about the vidui of Yom Kippur? The Rambam holds. Now, it's machlok is a rishonim, but the Rambam learns that this is a chiyuv, it's the obligation to say vidui before you eat, because you might choke in tomorrow's seuda. Maybe people get very afraid of fasting, therefore they eat too fast. I don't know, it doesn't make any sense. Now look at the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says something amazing in the next source. He says like this, the Gemara says, Kol oichel v'shoyta b'chi. The Gemara says like this, that whoever eats and drinks today and tomorrow, Erev Yom Kippur, it's considered as if he fasted Shiva Siri. Lechoira Siri miyutar? Ask the Sfas Emes. If you say that like this, if you eat on the 9th, it's as if you fasted the 9th and the 10th. It's not the 10th. The Gemara should have said, if you eat on the 9th, it's as if you fasted on the 9th. The 10th, you have to really fast. You can't say that if you eat on the 9th, you end up like fasting the 9th and the 10th. If you eat on the 9th, it's like you fasted on the 9th. And then you have to really fast on the 10th. The Abem is Bisan Bashir. You have to fast on the 10th. Lachen Nire says the Sfas Emes something unbelievable. The Achilas Chi Atzmoi, the Seuda tomorrow on the 9th, have a ketainis tes veyud. It has a din of double tainis. As if you fasted on the 9th and you fasted on the 10th. And if you eat on the 9th, you really consider that you fasted the 10th twice. You fasted the 10th by eating on the 9th, and you fasted the 10th by fasting on the 10th. News deity that says, that's why, that's why we say vidui tomorrow. We say vidui tomorrow before the seuda, because it's considered as if we are fasting tomorrow also. Because that doesn't make any sense. Because we just said, because you might choke on the seuda, if you're afraid of choking, and that's why you make a vidu. If you choke, you still did not make a vidu on Yom Kippur. You made a vidu on the 9th. What does it help? Says Fasemes, because the 9th is like the 10th. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us two Yom Kippurs. The Yom Kippur by eating on the 9th, which is considered as if you fasted the 9th and the 10th, and the real Yom Kippur. And the vidui of the choking is the vidui of the 9th. What does that mean? Why does God have to give us two Yom Kippurs? One Yom Kippur by eating, and one Yom Kippur by fasting. This Sfas Emes, by the way, everybody asks Sfas Emes. It doesn't make any sense, this Sfas Emes. But you tell me there's two Yom Kippurs? What does this mean? So that's the third question. And just to add insult to injury, I'm going to add the fourth question. The Rambam says like this, the next source. Mitzvah esse, vidu ze mitzvah esse. A person does tshuva, he has to do a confession. And that's a mitzvah esse. Ketzad misvadim, how is the vidu done? Oimer, he says, Ana Hashem chatati aviti pashati. You have to say, Hashem, I sinned. Lefanecha, ve'asiti kach ve'kach, you have to spell out what you did. Ve'ari nechamti u'boishti b'maisai, and I'm embarrassed what I have done. U'le'oilam enichoi zo davar ze, and we'll never do it again. So the vidui has three components. First, you have to acknowledge the chet. The second thing is you have to feel embarrassment, regret, and you have to assume that you'll never do it again. Okay, that's the vidui, three-party. The Rambam quotes now the vidu of Yom Kippur. Havidu shenogu pekol Yisrael. The vidu that we say in Yom Kippur is aval anachnu chatanu. You just say the vidu, we have sinned. Acknowledgement. Vehu ikar avidu. And this is what vidu is all about. One second. The Rambam just told you the vidu in Tshuva has three components. You have to acknowledge, you have to show regret, and you have to make a commitment to never do it again. The Rambam, when he quotes the same vidui on Yom Kippur, he changes. He says the vidui of Yom Kippur is what? Chatanu. We sinned, and that's enough. But not only that, the Rambam says something else. Averu sheizvad aleim Yom Kippurim zeh. If you make a vidui this Yom Kippur, and you did it, chozeru mitvadei aleim Yom Kippur macher. You have to continue repeating the vidui every Yom Kippur. Even though you didn't sin, you do keep tshuva, you still have to remember and do it again and again. Because you have to keep the head in front of you. And that doesn't make any sense. If you do tshuva, once you do tshuva, you're done. You don't have to remember the head. Just the opposite is also to remind the head. Yom Kippur, you have to remind the head again and again and again. And the question is why? So just to remind, tshuva, shofar is a tefillah. With a tefillah that's done by listening, not by speaking. What kind of a tefillah is that? Second question is, we have a Yom Kippur, right? I just spoke about this idea of Yom Kippur, that you go to the mikveh, tefillahs geirus. Why? Every tshuva you don't do that. Number three, you have Yom Kippur, the ninth is a form of Yom Kippur, and you have to say vidui because you might choke eating. Whoever said that such a thing? Number four, the vidui of Yom Kippur is totally different. Every vidui has three parts to it. Our vidui in Yom Kippur has only one part. And the vidui in Yom Kippur has to be repeated every time and again and again. To explain all of it, I think this will show and will shed light of your Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur all about. Rav Tzodek says and explains what's the idea of Rosh Hashanah. And this is based on the Zohar, which I just sent you. I gave you a copy in Raya Mehemna in Parshas Pinchas. You know what shofar is all about, says Rav Tzodek. And Rav Tzodek is the source in the next page, the first source in the third page. Aval zera Yaakov avinu shemitoso shleima kulo zera emes. All the Jews are children of truth. The titen emes liyakov. V'yesh bechol echad miyisrael, and every person has within himself nekuda zu desfas emes. He has a language of truth in his heart. Asher tikun lad. That's what the pasuk says. Sfat emet tikun lad. Ve'al nekuda zu, and that point, that pintel yid that you have in your heart, that's what it says. Hashomer emes le'olam. This is what keeps truth forever. Our hearts are connected to God. The day of Rosh Hashanah is that the shofar, what it does, it awakens our heart. It awakens our deepest emotions. And that the heart aches, and the sound of the crying is the sound of our own hearts. The tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is not the tefillah by speaking. Speaking and saying limits. The tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is listening to our hearts. So the tefillah is listening, but listening to our hearts, because our hearts are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Horowitz from Lawrence says that that's why the pasuk says, if you continue the pasuk by tiku b'choy de shofar, it says sfas leyadati eshma. I'm able to listen to a language that I didn't know before. The shofar is the ability to listen to our hearts. Hazinat Filosi, Shlomo Fischer says, this is what the pasuk says, Hazinat Filosi, listen to my prayer, Beloi Sifsi Mirma, without the wickedness of my lips, without distortion of my lips, is listening to the heart. if you look at the kavonas ha-shofar, and that's what the Zohar says, is listening to your heart. And that's the highest and the ultimate form of prayer, which is the non-verbal prayer, is the visceral feelings of prayer. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's why Rosh Hashanah is the highest form of prayer, because it's the prayer not by speaking, is the prayer of listening, is the meditative prayer. Sometimes we speak so much that we forget to listen, when the real prayer is listening. The avod of Rosh Hashanah is taking that awakening of the heart and verbalizing it, putting it into practice. That's why, how do we confuse the Sotan? The Tzaddik says this in Resisei Laila. How do we confuse the Sotan? We listen to the heart and we verbalize in Malchus, Zichrones, and Shofros in the Shofar, in Shimon Esrei. We take those feelings and we channel them, we verbalize them. Aseres Mitzvah, there are 7 days of the week. Always 7 days of the week is Aseres Mitzvah, right? The 7 days in between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. The Arizal says those are the 7 days which come to Mesach and the 7 days of the week. Is that taking that, those emotions, those feelings of the heart, translating them into practical terms and words to do tshuva and practical tshuva to make our lives better. To really fix the world, to fix our actions, to bring them into practice. That's Aseres Mitzvah. It's channeling the emotions of the shofar into real practical terms. But this is until the apex of it, which is tomorrow, which is Erev Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur is something much different. Yom Kippur is reaching to something very, very different. Because in life, you have tshuva on what we do, on actions. Yom Kippur is the tshuva of who we are. If you have a computer, right, any computer at home, sometimes things go crazy and start not working. So I start fixing up something, patching up something else. But you realize that sometimes what you need to do is a reset. So there's a soft reset or a hard reset. Yom Kippur is something called Bina, that we reach back to our hearts and we reimagine, reinvent ourselves. In Chazal, that's called Bina. Let me show you how the Ramchal explains this. So if you go to page 2, the last source. Inyan achas ve'achas. When we sprinkle the blood, we say one above, kematzlif, and 7 below. And we always repeat, we know that we reenact the avoda by Chazor HaSashatz. And we say, achas, achas ve'achas, achas u'shtayim. What do chatoim do? She'ora zayin tachtoim is the 7 lower ones, which is the 7 days of the week, the day of the physical. Yechashech, we bring darkness to them. And that's why the power of Tuma comes to our lives. You know what's the ultimate tikkun? It's not just doing tshuva on those 7 lower levels. Shetoyer habin al kol achas mi 7 spheres. To have a higher light, the light of the source, to enlighten, to purify the 7 tachtoines. This is how you bring light to the 7 lower spheres. That's why I can bo azori shoin al oiro rabina. So that's how you put the first sprinkle, which is the source of everything else. She's called the mother. V'hainu achas. That's the achas. Achar choizer maze sheva zois klapimata. And then you bring the 7, which are the 7 lower ones, which is the 7 days. Yom Kippur is called achas bashona, is the one. Because what Yom Kippur is bringing ourselves to the oneness. We fix up what we did throughout the year, and we do that the tshuva, serasebi tshuva. But even all after all of this, tshuva alone sometimes is not enough. The Gemara says that you did so much damage, the tshuva alone can take you somewhere, but doesn't take you enough. Yom Kippur takes you to the above, to the one above. And the one above is our hearts. Bina liba ubo halev mevin. Is the understanding of the heart. Is the core, the oneness of who we are. Chazal say, you know how what's called Bina? Bina is called me, the word me. Me is the who. Tshuva on the what is the tshuva on the seven levels, with the ways of the weak life here. But then there is the tshuva of the who, changing us, making us into somebody else different, going to our core, into the achas. That is Yom Kippurim. The Malbim says, Ki bayoyim hazeh yechaper alechem, that's the source right above. Ki lefi hapshat yechaper al korbonos. So, posh pshat, you understand that what is the kapor of Yom Kippur? The korbonos. But he says, no. Look at the line before the last. Ubetzad beishel bayom hu hakli. The day, bayoyim hazeh, is through the day. Not on the day, but through the day. The day of Yom Kippur is the kapora. Kmo v'kippur olav be'el ha'ashem. We are mechaper with Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim is the kippur of the Yud Mem. And the Yud Mem is the me. Chazal say, why is it me? Because 40 is how things in this world develops always into multiples of 4. Shem Shamayim is 4. I told you the forces of the universe is a 4. As I told you, there's a great book by Jeffrey West, which is one of the great books of the year, which talks about something called scaling. And this is a physicist who realized that the world scales in force. He says it's very funny that the world scales into 4, because 4 is how things develop. That's the idea of the Nahar that comes out from Gan Eden. There were 4 rivers coming out of Gan Eden. But this is the 4, the Mem, which is the square, the surface. But it comes from a point. The point is the Yud. Me is the Mem reconnecting to the Yud. This is what we do, reconnecting to who we are. Yom Kippur is going and reimagining ourselves. And this is connecting the Mem to the Yud. That's why it's Yom Kippur Mem. Says the Megal Amukis in the next page. And that's source number 3. There are 3 tikkunim of tshuva that the Oves of Mesaker, Rosh Hashanah, Tzom Kippur, and Shana Rabbah. And if you look, and you look at the third line from the bottom, Ze sheroma zasher mi kel b'shomayim u'boretz, mi soid ha-tshuva, is Yom Kippur, hi nirmezes b'milas mi. The Lord mi, the who, is Yom Kippur. The taman mem yom ad Yom Kippur, because mi is even the calendar date, 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, ad Gemara Chasim, Yud Yom, and then there are 10 more days until Yosh Hashanah Rabbah. So the word me represents the process, because this is the day to go back to the me. And this is what Yom Kippur is all about. Explains the Zohar, but this thing is Mishnas Chasidim. The source right before is the Mishnas Chasidim. Ve'achar zehu Yom HaKippurim, that's Yom Kippur right after Rosh Hashanah, shu keneged hakone. He says, if you look at our structure of our body, we have 2 structures. We have the esophagus, where all the food goes through, and then we have the windpipe, which is only the breathing, the lungs, and the heart. Those are 2 tshuvas. There is 1 tshuva, which is the tshuva of Olam Hazeh, which relates to esophagus, relates to the world of eating, of physical. And then there is the tshuva of the windpipe. Says the Mishnas Chasidim, Yom Kippur is keneged hakon, Yom Kippur is keneged the windpipe. Sheim bo lo achila velo shtia, ki aveshet shebo achila ushtia, because the veshet, which is the esophagus, which brings the food and the nutrients. So he's saying, koyach lasotn, this is veshet, and sotn is the same. The same letter is only the nun. The Zohar says the vav changes to a nun. The vav, if you take it too low, the veshet, or the physical, becomes a nun. Ein lo shlita b'yom zeh, but we are in a day that we only relate to the windpipe. Because you know what the sotn is. What is the sotn? The sotn is the one that Rutner always explains, that when Eov, Hashem told Eov is a big tzaddik. The Sotan tells him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a big tzaddik, let's test him. Let's see what he does. The proof is on the pudding. He is the one who wants to see Tachlis. He's the one who relates to the esophagus, to the world of physical, proving, and the proof is on the pudding. The day of Yom Kippur is the day that we don't have to prove anything. As long as we imagine, we reinvent ourselves, we reset ourselves, that alone is enough. Because it's the day of this, of the windpipe. It's the day of the heart and the lungs and the feelings. It's not a day of the physical. That's why the word Sotan, Chazal say that HaSotan, the Sotan, is Begimatria 364, to tell you that one day the Sotan is not there. And the obvious question is, the word Sotan is only 359. So if you add 5, it comes out to 364. So why do you add Hey? Add above, V'Sotan is 365. Z'Sotan to be 366. Why is it so arbitrary, the add the HaSotan? But the answer is very simple. In Hebrew, the letter Hey is the Hey HaYedia. If you want to make something real, you put a Hey. Proof is on the pudding. The Sotan usually requires a Hey. You are a tzaddik, okay, prove it. Put a Hey, Hey HaYedia. On the Yom Kippur, you don't need a Hey HaYedia. It's the day that we relate, not to the Veshet, not to the esophagus, to the world of physical, to nutrients, to all the stuff that's in the world. It's the day of dreams. It's the day of the windpipe. It's the way that we are the windpipe. We go into the hearts. Rosh Hashanah, we listen to our hearts and our hearts project it out. Yom Kippur, we go back to our hearts. And therefore, in Yom Kippur, the tshuva and the kapara is totally different. Look at the Rambam in the previous page. The Rambam is the third source from the bottom. The Rambam says, Bizman hazeh shein beis hamikdash kaim, this time we don't have a beis hamikdash, ve'in lanu mizbeach kapara, we don't have a mizbeach, in sham el tshuva, we only have tshuva. A tshuva mechaperet al kol averot, afilu rosha v'yasa tshuva, tshuva is mechaper everything, emas kilu shum dover. Okay. The Atzmo in the second Mechaper is the Atzmo Shel Yom HaKippurim Mechaper Lashovim. Is Mechaper not to somebody who did tshuva, is Lashovim, the ones who return. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the tshuva is very different. Yom Kippur is not Mechaper to those who do tshuva, they are Mechaper to the Shovim. And you know what Nafkimina is? In Yom Kippur, you don't do tshuva on this chet, on that chet, and you start counting and you have to do like a whole list, a laundry list of chatoim. The important is not a tshuva on the chafza, on the mindsim, on the actions, on the averus. The tshuva is in ourselves. We have to go back. It's a din on the gavra. That's why it's mechaper lashovim. That's why the Mishnah on about Yom Kippur says, and you could look at page 3, okay, the last page. You have the source, and the source is right before the last. Omar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, Lifnei Mi Atem Etaharim. In front of the Mi Atem Etaharim, Umi Metaher Eschem, which is Metaher Eschem, is the Mi. This is the day of the Mi, the day of coming back to the source. This is what Chazal say, is the idea of going back to your hearts. Is the day of introspection. Is the day that we could imagine who you want to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ad sheyayid alea yad yid alav idea talumis, the one who knows the hearts, can testify on us of who we are. The Buddha says that doesn't happen anywhere else. Usually you have to do it. In this day, you don't have to do it. You just have to imagine and commit to what we imagine. The Migdal Muke says, how do we start Yom Kippur? We start the Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre is a HaTorah's Nedorim. HaTorah's Nedorim, what do we do? We announce that the Nedorim in the next year, we are changing the Nedorim and we are reinventing, declaring, imagining the Nedorim. We didn't do a Neder, the next year is not here. We're just creating an idea. This is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is reinventing ourselves, is reinventing the me, is going back to the source. That's the idea why the tshuva of Yom Kippur requires a mikveh. Because the tshuva every day, you're doing tshuva on different actions. So you do different actions and different actions. There are different actions. And Yom Kippur is for us rebirthing ourselves, recreating ourselves. We have to go to the mikveh. The Zohar writes the mikveh is mem seo, because it's going back to the source. You're going to the water. It's like the amniotic fluid. You're basically recreating yourself. So you reenact the tshuva of Yom Kippur on Erev Yom Kippur by going back to the mikveh. And that's why it's a tefilas geirus. Yes, why is that tshuva different? Because this tshuva is indeed different. That's why in Yom Kippur, the tshuva is not say, I did this, I will never do it again. That's tshuva on the ma'isim. That is for Aser Sevi tshuva. On Yom Kippur is aval anachnu chatanu, we've sinned. We want to be better. We are wrong. We are on the wrong. We are missing. That's why the vid is very different. It's aval anachnu chatanu. That's why the vid of Yom Kippur, we always clap al chet to our hearts. Right? I always say, it doesn't make any sense. What's the heart to be blamed for speaking Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara, you speak with your mouth. So you should clap your mouth. If you did something with your hand, you should clap your hands, but you clap our hearts. Because what we're trying to do is to change, to enter, to penetrate the world of the heart. All the actions are the chisroinis that we are, and we want to reinvent ourselves. That's why Tzfasemes says there are two Yom Kippurs. One Yom Kippur is the Yom Kippur of the ninth, which is the Yom Kippur of what we do. It says in the Arizal, when you eat the seuda tomorrow, you are mesakin every seuda we eat l'shem shomayim, we make a vidu that we ate improperly, we didn't make brochas, we ate l'taiva. We are doing tshuva on our actions. That ends on the ninth. And that's the final first Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you got a different Yom Kippur, not about what we did, but what who we are. Your Erev Yom Kippur is the tshuva on the esophagus, on the veshet. The Yom Kippur is the tshuva on the windpipe, on the esophagus, on the with the windpipe. That's why Chazal say you have to do a final vidu to separate. Because if you don't do the final vidu, you might choke. You know, choking means that your food will go into the windpipe. Because you might confuse the two vidus. You might confuse the two vidus and think that the vidu tomorrow is like the vidu of today. Which means that the food is going to the windpipe and that's choking you. You have to put a break. The break is Erev Yom Kippur. On the seuda, we make a break. This vidui is the vidui for the seuda, is the vidui for the ninth, which the ninth in itself is a form of Yom Kippur. And then I'm going to have a different vidui, a different world. And that's the world of the windpipe. And I don't want any food to get into there. And therefore we create a break. So Chazal say you have to make a vidui because otherwise you choke. Choking means that you're going to put food into the windpipe. You're going to do a tshuva of the tes on the yud. And that's choking ourselves. And that is the message of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. It's the day of the Kippur Yud Mem. It's our ability to go lifne mi atem metar umimetar eschem. This is the day we listen to the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The shofar led our lives. On the day of Yom Kippur, we go back to the shofar. That's why it's so interesting that the ultimate Yom Kippur, which Yom Kippur is it? Is the Yom Kippur of Yovel, which is the Yom Kippur of the 50 of the Mi. On that Yom Kippur, not only we have a mitzvah to listen to the shofar, the mitzvah is to blow the shofar. And every Jew has to blow the shofar. Yom Kippur is the same halachas of Rosh Hashanah, but it's a more real one. We just don't live, we just don't actually listen to the heart. We become the heart. We have the mitzvah to blow the shofar. Imagine that the Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, every single person needs to blow shofar. Because we become the heart ourselves. We don't listen to the heart, we become an expression of the heart. And every Yom Kippur is a small Yom Kippur of Yovel. And therefore, this is the day that we get the chance to imagine ourselves, to think we want to be better, we want to be somebody else. We want to go into the world of the heart, which is lifnai v'lifnim. Lifnei mi atem metarim umi metaher eschem. And that's the ultimate tshuva and the ultimate rebirth. And Chazal say that's achas lemala v'shiva lemata, the sheva lemata, the sheva zoz lemata, the 7 days of Aseret Yom Kippur. Those are lower forms of tshuva. We want to go ahead and to have a higher form of tshuva, the tshuva of the who, the tshuva of bina, the tshuva of the source, and that's to illuminate and change our actions, and that's achas lemala v'shiva lemata. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed help us, that we should achieve the tshuva as it's supposed to be, and to achieve indeed a reinventing, a reset of who we are, and make ourselves into Yom Kippur, into something better. And Yom Kippur is such that now every Yom Kippur, when you look back, you realize that you could reinvent yourself even more. And therefore, you have to do tshuva from the previous Yom Kippur. Because every reset, you realize that wasn't hard reset, it was a soft reset. You could do a harder reset. And that's why the halacha of Yom Kippur is such that every Yom Kippur, you have to do tshuva on the previous Yom Kippur. And just to finalize, this is what the Megal Lamukas always says. We wish everybody to live to 120. And it's so funny that in Yiddishkeit, the year, the 120 years is such an exact number. Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years. Lazoki and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Akiva, exactly 120. What's so special about 120? Says the Megal Lamukas, because the word Elohim, which is the source of all powers, Elohim is Ele Mi, is the ultimate Shem of the Mi. Elohim is what the name of Hashem that we build in the image of God, we build in the image of Elohim, it's Elohim. The word Elohim you could permutate, you could write in 120 ways. A five-letter word can be permutated in 120 times. So leaving it 120, it means that you reinvented yourself to the utmost. To all, that's the idea, the word Zeh, the word this, is Begimatria 12, which is in the ultimate form is 120, means that you invented yourself to the utmost. This is our ability, that every Yom Kippur we get to invent ourselves in a deeper form, in a harder reset. And that's why the Rambam writes, every Yom Kippur you make a tshuva and you say a vidui on the tshuva of last year, even though you didn't do anything wrong. Because it's not a tshuva of doing, the tshuva of being. And we have to reinvent ourselves to the utmost, which is the 120, to really exercise of who we really ought to be. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us, that this Yom Kippur should lead us one step closer to the 120, and this way we'll be able to recover who really we are, and to really get to the Madrega of Lefnimi Atem Etayer U'Metayer Eschem. Have a Gemar Chasimah Tovah.